It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Tomorrow and Sunday at 6:30 and 9, 10,000 Maniacs make their Hawaii debut with concerts at the Blue Note and retaining most of their original or longtime members, too. They've got a steady lineup. Incredible singer, violinist Mary Ramsey on board for 2.5 decades now, actually a backup singer for a time during their Natalie Merchant years and a friend of Natalie's. Plus late guitar player Rob Buck's former guitar tech Jeff Erickson has been with them close to 20 years now. And 10,000 Maniacs is a group that have had a close relationship to radio right from the beginning, we'll hear, as we welcome original member, co-founder, keyboardist Dennis Drew. Hey, brother, aloha, and thanks for doing this.
Aloha. Thank you, David.
You're quite welcome, and it turns out you guys really do have a strong connection to radio, including when you're not out with 10,000 Maniacs. You're the GM and part of the morning show at a nonprofit radio station in Jamestown, New York, WRFA.
You know, I started in radio, and radio has been a big part of this band. I do run a community radio station, but back in 1978, Steve Gustafson, our bass player, and I started a college radio station at the college here in Jamestown, and that's where we met Natalie, and that's how we hooked up with Rob, and that's how we hooked up with Athens, Georgia. They said, well, you play at the 40 Watt Club, and Sue Murphy was the GM of their college radio station. She said, and you can sleep at my house, because when the band started, we would call up these college radio stations, and we did that all over the country back in 81, 82, 83. And the opportunity came up to put together this community radio station. I jumped at it. And the great thing is I have the flexibility to still do 45 shows a year with 10,000 Maniacs. So it's the best of both worlds. Mine every morning.
The show is called Small Things Considered, right?
Yeah. What a good name, yeah.
That's great. And if people look it up, it's a little cartoon image of you and, I guess, the other cats.
Yeah.
It looks like you're ready for your Simpsons debut with that thing.
I know, it looks like that, yeah.
And you gave some indication of it, and it was a very organic start to the group, and that was in an era when alternative was truly alternative, and it was done a lot of the time by college stations, and you guys got a ton of support. And thinking about that, it was right around now, early September, in fact, 1981, you ended up doing the debut.
Yep. Labor Day 1981 was the first one, and by 1982, we moved to Athens, Georgia. Actually, now Atlanta, Georgia, we moved to. And we bought a school bus van and painted it red, green, and gold and wrote Sing Out with Joy on the side of it and drove down to Atlanta, Georgia, because REM was from down there. And that's when we really started to bond and really get it together and weren't a local band anymore.
And you guys ended up doing a bunch of touring and stuff with REM, and we're close to them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They're great guys, and they were really good for us. You know, they just came to see us.
Was it REM that got you on your first national tours?
Yeah, they invited us to come out and play.
Wow.
For the opening band. Peter Buck would come out and play with us, and Michael would come out sometimes and do Campfire Song with us because he actually sang it on our record. And then we had a thing in 92 or 93. He and Natalie were good friends. He would do We're Caught in a Trap. That Elvis song?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I love you too much. But he does a great Elvis.
That's
Michael
cool.
Stipe does a fantastic Elvis. We would do that song in an encore and people would go berserk.
What a great bit.
No, we can't go on together with suspicious minds.
That's it. And early on, you guys also benefited from the interest of legendary late BBC radio host John Peel, yeah. Correct?
Absolutely. We made our own record up in Buffalo and we pressed it on vinyl. And we sent him to college radio, and then we sent it to the BBC. We sent it to John Peel, and he loved it, and he played it. That opened a lot of doors for us. Yeah, John Peel was instrumental in our success, for sure.
And you guys, some covers, Cat Stevens' Peace Train. I've always been curious, did you ever meet him or play with him or get feedback from him on that?
Well, in typical record company fashion, we record all of In My Tribe. Of course, they said, we don't hear any hits on this. You better do a cover. So Peter Asher says, you guys know any covers? And I said, before we came out here to make the record, we played Peace Train in Ithaca. And he goes, great, let's do that. And then, of course, Cat Stevens comes out and endorses the Ayatollah Khomeini's death sentence on
Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie. So there was a firestorm there, and we had two concurrent thoughts. Number one, that's not our song on the record, so if we take it off, we're going to get more publishing royalties. And number two, what a firestorm over this damn Rusty thing. So let's get it off the record for sure. So we took it off the record.
In that late 80s period, didn't you open for the Grateful Dead right around then at some point?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, man. That's the best. You know, Steve and I were Deadheads, and we kept bugging this one promoter in New York to get us on to play with the Dead. And we played a football stadium with the Grateful Dead, July 4th, 1989.
Rich Stadium outside of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Jerry was just out of rehab. He and Bob Weir stood on stage during our whole sound check and hung out with us. All of a sudden, there's a PA glitch. Something happens with the PA, and we all got to stop. So Garcia goes, smoke him if you got him. So we went back to his tent there, his little guitar world. He said, you guys want to smoke some weed? We go, yeah. And Rob Buck, who had the best weed in the history of the world, goes, yeah, here, let's smoke this. So we smoked this joint with Jerry Garcia on the 4th of July, 1989. And Jerry Garcia says, hey, man, your weed's better than our weed. Greatest moment in my life.
You tell it great, too. And when you did the Bill Clinton inauguration thing, Natalie's still at the helm at that point?
Yeah, that was the MTV inaugural ball. We played with En Vogue, Soul Asylum.
Oh, wow.
And it was unbelievable. Un-freaking believable. There's a VIP area where you can hang out, and there's like Chrissy Hynde and Mary Louise Parker and Robert De Niro and all these people, you know, like, holy cow. We got to play, and Michael Stipe came out with us and sang To Sir With Love.
Before we wrap it up, we've mentioned Natalie Merchant a few times, and she, from what I read, announced to you guys that she would be leaving for a solo career a couple of years before she actually left. Talk about that, and have you retained a relationship with her?
Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, she was about 8 hours away, but we do business for sure. She's been more than generous in all our business dealings, and because she's got a lot more clout than we do, so she's been great for us. But yeah, before we recorded Our Time in Eden, she said, this is the last record I want to do with you guys, but I'll tour and we'll do it up. And we said, okay, that is specifically what that song is about and what that album is about. You know, it was announced that this is it. These are the days. Our Time in Eden. It was, you know, her farewell to making art by committee. We knew she was always going to leave. She's a strong woman. I think she had a plan that when she was 30, she was going to go do her own thing. Because we met the girl when she was 16, you know, at the radio station back in Jamestown. One little girl hanging out with men, driving in a van around the country and sleeping on people's floors. And she worked hard. And she was great. She was great. We made a great record. And it was a fun farewell. We were never going to stop playing. It was funny because in 92, when we started the tour, Jerry Augustiniak broke his shoulder, our drummer.
Mm.
We had 2 weeks booked in colleges. So we called Max Weinberg from the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen's band, because Bruce Springsteen had broken up the band and was doing his solo stuff. So Max was out of a job. We called up Max, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. So Max Weinberg came and did 2 weeks with us. We did 2 weeks of shows. And, you know, he said, yeah, Max, you know, Natalie's going to quit the band and stuff. He goes, yeah, tell me about it. But he goes, yeah, hey, man, he goes, you guys are going to be fine because you guys wrote all that music. You know, you don't have to stop. You know, we took that to heart and we did not stop.
And you chose the right person for the job, too, because Mary had already been a background singer with the group, is friends with Natalie Merchant, sounds like Natalie, adds that ferocious violin playing. And recent live records like 2016's Playing Favorites clearly demonstrate that. We'll go out with a huge classic played live on that album, These Are Days, which we talked about earlier.
That song is in a Hawaiian slack key tuning. It's in an E-flat tuning that Rob Buck used a lot of different tunings that he brought to the band. It's a Hawaiian slack key tuning. We don't play slack key on it, but it is in that tuning.
How could I have picked the one Hawaiian tuning thing?
It's amazing.
Synergy, my brother.
Yes, it's, man.
It's Dennis Drew. It's 10,000 Maniacs making their debut in the state and tomorrow and Sunday at the Blue Note.
Hey, David, you're coming to the shows, right?
I'm totally coming. I'd love to come back and say hi.
Absolutely. Call me on this phone. You got my phone number.
I will. Really, really enjoyed having you on the show, Dennis.
Did a great job, David. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Aloha, brother.
Bye-bye.